Welcome into the podcast. Too hot for the hot tub.
That was bad, wasn't it?
That was not my best James Brown, man. Sorry about that, but I'm in. I am in this podcast right now, man. I am hot.
You are now.
Whether I want to be or not, right? Yeah. Right on. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Jay. Doing well. How are you?
Good, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into PartsCounterGuru.com. We're here to bring you another episode of whatever comes to our mind, and we like sharing it. So this is either therapy for you or therapy for us. So, right?
Wow, you're full of something today.
That's Keith, and that's me, Jay.
Hey, everybody.
So, hey. Oh, wait a second.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, did you hear that?
No, I have headphones on.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
All right. Should I? Let's see if I can. Let's do a little. I got just the thing for this. Here we go. I would narrate what Jay's doing, but I can't see what he's doing. I think I know what he's doing. So anyway, let me just kind of set everybody up for the upcoming podcast. We're gonna get into some news. Oh, here he is.
Wow.
Today's topic is owned and operated by Jay. Oh, but it's called "I Hate My Job." So we're gonna get into that shortly. I was setting everybody up for the topic of the podcast.
Sorry, did I make it back too soon? My fingers were on fire, man.
Well, so what do you got here? What did you abruptly get up and leave in the middle of a podcast for?
Well, you and I have kind of gotten into this habit of kind of sharing, you know, certain foods that we may or may not like, and I've been actually interested in some of these.
As I always say, eating on the air is great video, right?
Yeah, I don't know that the attack of the Whopper was quite interesting, but no, man. You know, in this day and age, everybody's trying to find alternate sources for food, just like we're trying to find alternate sources for fuel for our vehicles and stuff. And the alternate sources for food are most typically driven by people who may have some sort of intolerances to, you know, wheat or whatever, gluten, or they have a restrictive diet for diabetes or whatever. Anyway, so
did I just hear Wilford Brimley there?
You may have. Yeah, yes, man.
Diabetes.
I haven't heard that name in diabetes. Yeah. Diabetes. I have I bought this. It's cauliflower pizza crust, man. So I wanted to give it a whirl. It's gluten free. It's obviously reduced fat and calories and that sort of stuff. Lower on carbs, obviously, than a bread would be or normal dough. So, but what I did is I wanted to take it easy on it. I didn't want to load the crust up. So it's just kind of a pesto and mozzarella pizza topping. So let's try it. Let's see what it is. Wow. That's pretty good.
All right, what you got on it?
It's a
pesto.
Pesto and what? Just mozzarella, man. Just straight up. It's all a super, super thin crust.
I can see that.
Has a good chew to it. I mean, it's really, I mean, the similarities to a regular, you know, dough pizza crust is amazing, actually.
All right, so we need to qualify this. So what kind of pizza do you normally get when you go out? I'm not talking about, like, you know, freezer section. I'm talking to a pizza place.
Yeah. Well, usually what I'm getting is a sausage, mushroom, pepperoni.
Thin crust, thick crust, Chicago style, New York style.
It really depends on where I go. There's two favorite places that I go to, but I prefer them both. I love thin crust, but if I want a good pizza, feel like I've been there, man, I'm going for that. Like, it's a thick crust, like pizzeria style thick. You know what I'm talking about? Like hand toss or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've been to the joint, one of the joints.
Okay, I know the
one. You know that. But
So you're kind of like me. You're kind of open to good pizza in many. In many forms.
Yeah, I mean, I remember way back when Pizza Hut came out with their first like the pan. No, remember the pan pizzas?
Oh yeah,
love those things, man. Like yeah. So here's what I did, just to kind of a pro tip on this. I have a cast iron skillet. It's like a, it's not a deep skillet. It's like a fajita style skillet, round, and that's what I cook this on. And I think that might be a key to success on these things, man. I just learned something today. So, but it's tasty.
Looks tasty. You get to
it's
eat.
Really good.
You got to eat. You. I got. Wow. What am I?
So let me give a shout out to who this is. They're a California-based company, go figure. The name of the company is called Collie Power.
Ah, of course.
Collie Power. And they did it out of love for good pizza, but also because I guess someone in the family had a gluten intolerance, so I get it. I have a son that is gluten intolerant.
Enjoy that. I got to, what I was trying to get out a while ago was that I got to eat in front of you last time, so I guess it's kind of your turn. So let's see here. So while we're talking about things that you like and things that I like, there is something else that kind of ties into that with this this, I think it also ties into the hat you've got on today. Is that right?
Oh, yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So can you or would you tell us a little bit about what your lid of choice is?
So
and
my
the story
lid
behind it.
Yeah, my lid choice today. This is a brewer, Ninkasi Brewing Company. They're out of Eugene, Oregon. I think they were established in like 2006 or whatever. Ninkasi stands for the Sumerian goddess of beer. That's according to them.
Okay.
I'm going to go with it. They're going with it. So I have to do my research on that. But it was kind of interesting. We were at a brewer's night at our local favorite tavern, Union Tavern. Hey, guys. Anyway, back again on you. And Robin, the Northwest or Western Washington rep, was there. And I won this hat. And actually,
well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, go imagine. Yeah,
you winning hats.
Yeah, this is the Dawn of the Red. This is one of their year-round beers. Of course, you guys can't see this if you're not watching, but if you're listening, it's Dawn of the Red. Then my wife, like 10 minutes later, wins Pacific Rain, which is a Northwest Pale Ale. But through the night while I was there, man, I was drinking Tricera Hops, which is a double IPA.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Kind of a, I don't know, it's not super bitter, but it had a little bit of a bitter finish
to
it.
You hop fans. This is, okay, let me reenact the average hopaholic here. This is your, this is what you guys do when you drink your beer. Okay, here we go. You ready for this?
I'm ready, man.
Ooh, that's good beer.
Not true. Not true. We do not. We sit there and we endure the bitterness.
I can see the tears well up, trying to hold them back. Okay, so, you know, we did a video. We haven't aired this yet, but we shot a video on. Wow, what is wrong with me? We shot a video on beers for the job, and we talked about the stuff we like. So, what do you think from their catalog? I would like.
That's funny you asked that, because I actually tried all four. Let me tell you all four beers that were on tap there that night. First and foremost, the Tricera Hops Double IPA. It's a no-brainer when I go to these types of events. I'm going to go for the IPA if they have it on the board. If they don't have an IPA, I'm going to shoot for probably a pale ale, a pilsner, or some sort of like sour. So they had on there Ninkasi Pilsner, which is a cold fermented lager. Otis Oatmeal Stout. Really good on the front side, man. Get some vanilla, some chocolate. For me, it had a great mouthfeel, man. But most importantly, I'm not sure. That's a beer you might want to enjoy like after dinner. Kind of almost like a dessert beer, if you will. Really good beer. And then the one that I personally think that you would have loved the most out of the whole kit and caboodle. The Bright berry raspberry lime lager.
What are you? Okay. You're trying to make me out to be some sort of, all right.
No, I know you like, I know that you like interesting flavors with your beers. You'll even try an IPA if it has some sort of hint of something like a citrusy feel to it. You like those. I know that. Otherwise, it'd be too bitter.
I just put a bow in my hair and put me on some training wheels with one of those pink bicycles.
But, you know what I'm going to do?
All right.
I'm going to do shout out again to Robin. She was very interested in what we were doing, and I explained to her what PartsCountyGurus.com was all about, and I really appreciate her taking that interest. I reached out to her, and hey there, guys. Thank you so much for a great night. You have great beer. But the Brightberry Raspberry Lime Ale has a nice, nice lime finish.
You're probably right. I'm not a fruity drink guy or a sweet drink guy.
It's not sweet.
And that's the thing, man. That's a dangerous line because it can go very wrong if you start playing around with like fruits in beer or sweet things in beer. You're either going to get it really, really wrong or you're going to knock it out of the park.
Well,
there has been several that I've tried that I've been like, wow, this is it sounds a little bit like it's not very manly, let's just say, but they're kind of interesting. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You got to certainly be in a certain, you know, mood for something like that. But this is it's very well done. Like I said, it has a nice lime finish. So it was more of a tart sour finish, almost a sour to me.
Right.
Which some sours I just can't handle, but I do like sours on a really, really good hot summer day, man. So it's perfect. But the hat that I have on is Dawn of the Red. It's like they didn't have it there that night, but I've had it before. It's extremely citrusy, you know, almost mango. I like those IPAs as well, man. It's a red IPA, basically, is what it is. Good stuff. And there you go, Ninkazi. Right on. So thanks again, Robin.
Now, some of these places are tavern only kind of beers.
Correct.
Some of these breweries. Do you know if you is? I'm putting you on the spot here, but is there stuff available in the supermarket?
Yes, you can. Okay. You can
or
buy
the beer aisle.
Yeah, they do distribute
they have beer aisles.
Yeah, they do distribute. I haven't found all of their offering in the stores, but I've Total Domination IPA is one. The one that I had, the Tricera Hops, I've seen it. I haven't seen that Brightberry Raspberry in the store, but I'm sure maybe local, you know, like down in Eugene where they're from, they probably distribute tremendously. But for up
here,
you know what?
Like, I'm going to add this to list of potential jobs for me when I grow up.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Beer tasting?
No.
Okay. I'm ready.
Beer namer.
Ooh.
Because there's got to be somebody doing that job, right?
Well, that's marketing, isn't it?
Well, who comes up with, and they're clever, names like Tricera Hops or the one I sent you a couple weeks ago, Hop Stupid, Space Goat, you know. I mean, some of these are just, it's like, wow. So here we have a Fat Bottom Brewery in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything is basically a parody on the old Fat Bottom Girl song, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
So, which is Queen. Queen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they make the rock and world go around, man.
So everything is a nod to that across their whole beer line. And, I mean, you got to be, like, these guys, I'll bet, just kind of in the shower and they're, you know, thinking of, you know, beer names, right?
Well, what I like about Ninkazi, and I went to their website just to do a little back-end research before we started, they give food pairings and tasting notes on their on their website, which is really nice. They give the about, but they also give a little history maybe behind the beer and why they named it what they named, which is one of the first that we've talked about on air that I was actually able to come up with that much of it. For example, Dawn of the Red India Pale Ale, which is, you know, that right there. See that? That's the rock and roll, right? 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 Right?
Or the Shocker.
Or the Shocker, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, so here's a description. It says, about every 30 years, the Pacific Northwest reinvents music. We were the birthplace of garage rock in the 60s, grunge in the 90s, and now, a few years ahead of schedule, here's a Rebel IPA that's out to change everything. Dawn of the Red sweet tropical tang gives way to a hoppy finish that's destined to go down in history. There you go.
All right.
I think beer and music, man. Beer and rock and roll. Beer, well, I don't know, man. Country's got some beer in it, too, man. Those guys are they're all talking about, you know. Yeah, right? Yeah? Would you agree?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know so much I'd about just, classical.
Right. We could have some fun with that, right? Like,
oh, we can have
I
a
dare
lot
you
of
to go to
that.
A, you know, a recital and crack a Bush.
Right. Now, wait a minute. You don't know my family.
But you have to make that noise when you do it in the recital hall, right? You have to go Bush. In and whoosh as you
That's
pop it,
man.
Open.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
you got to wait till like a violin solo or something just so it's just perfectly
yeah,
timed,
man.
Right?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. So what else did I miss while I was out grabbing my pizza? You were...
Well, I was just setting everybody up for what we were going to talk about later.
Okay. Do I know what we're talking about?
Yeah, you came up with it.
Oh, okay.
I just came up with the title. I hate my job. But
so So you're trying to tell me that I'm well informed, Keith?
I guess. I'm not trying to tell you anything. You know,
I hope so. I hope I'm well informed.
Do you have so we've got a drawing coming up. We're going to do. Let's do a little news first, and then we'll get to the drawing, and then we'll get to the the main topic. How's that?
That sounds great. Sounds great. Let's get this thing done. Live from PartsCounterGuru.com, the news.
All right, so now I'm like eternally paranoid over on the previous podcast where we all learned that Jay was keeping score over who did news stories first. I was traumatized by that because now I'm thinking back through how many of these have we done where I just started blabbering about news stories without thinking, you know, you're over there counting.
Did you go back and watch every single podcast?
No, but in my head now, it's like, did I leave the stove on? You know, kind of thing. Like when you leave the house, like I'm thinking back, like how many times have I started first? So
yeah.
So I'm gonna let you go first if you got a news article.
Oh, really? You gonna do this to me, man?
I'm just gonna sit here and stare until you come up with.
No, it's we've had yet another another casualty in the automotive industry. It appears that the Fiat 500 is discontinued in the United States for the year 2020. Yeah, it includes the electric 500e and the more powerful Abarth models. So this came from CNET. It's time to bid arrivederci to the Fiat 500 hatchback and convertible. The car that relaunched the Fiat brand in the U.S. almost a decade ago will be discontinued for the 2020 model year. In addition to the standard Fiat 500, the electric 500e, the higher performance 500 Abarth models will also get the axe. Autoblog first reported that the news earlier this week says, and a Fiat spokesperson later confirmed, the 500's death is definitely a big deal and going down via email. Fiat will discontinue production of the current generation Fiat 500 and 500e in North America, a company spokesperson told Roadshow on Monday. Current inventory of the 2019 Fiat 500 and 500e will last into 2020. So they're going to sell it down. They're going to get rid of them. They're still going to make it up. But, you know, you kind of wonder. I am of the opinion, I don't think it worked in the beginning anyway. It was almost like there was a direct competitor to the Mini Cooper.
Not soon enough,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah, I am with you
good
on
riddance.
That.
Yep. So here's what happened, and I'm going to paraphrase. Chrysler took government bailout money here in the United States during the, was it 2008 recession?
Because that was during the housing crash and all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And as part of that, so that gave some folks say-so that normally wouldn't have say-so in the direction of Chrysler. The Fiat-Chrysler merger happened, and this whole push towards better miles per gallon, fuel economy, whatever, was mandated. And so they said, well, we're just going to build these tiny cars. Well, the problem with that is that's very popular in other parts of the world where their roads are smaller and they don't use their cars like we do here, but it's not popular here in the United States. The exception maybe being Mini Cooper that you mentioned, but I've owned a Mini Cooper, you've owned a Mini Cooper. That's a little bit of a different crowd in the sense that, first of all, those cars are bigger on the inside than the Fiats are. There's and more room.
Yeah, they perform well too.
And they're not crap. I'm sorry. Like, that's a BMW owned product.
Right. Now it
is. Fiat
is.
And you know, I just hate what Fiat has done to their Italian brand. Like, I had a girlfriend in high school that owned a Fiat Spider convertible.
Mm-hmm.
And that car looks more like a modern day, like the Mazda, the current generation of the Mazda.
Miata? It is.
Okay.
It's basically that, but it's badged.
Yeah, they're sharing
as,
the same. Yeah.
Right. It's a Fiat 124.
Fiat 500 stuff, man. I couldn't. They're just what purpose do they? I mean, right. Good riddance.
Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of almost like. Of course, I saw this the other day about, you know, we need to have a podcast of, you know, from 1 to 10, the ugliest vehicles that have made it to production and sold in the United States over the last 20 years. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that this one may top it. But outside of that, the Nissan Juke, in my opinion, was just...
I read yesterday. Now, we owned one of those. You may not have known that.
I drove one of those once.
And we got it when they had first come out. And the reason we got it is I had a young child. And I wanted my wife to have a nice all-wheel drive vehicle that wasn't gigantic. But there's a lot more room in those than there is in this Fiat 500.
Yeah.
And the all-wheel drive thing was really nice for the price point. They discontinued those. They are coming back out with a more subtle looking version of that vehicle in other overseas, in Europe.
Right.
Be back out next model year. I just read that yesterday.
Yeah, I saw an image of what's supposedly the production version of it, and it's keeping some of what the Juke was, but it's kind of more refined, if you will. It looks a lot better. The first time I drove one, Keith, and just leave it to me to do this, they were giving me a deal on a rental car that day. They kept wanting to upgrade me and bump me into certain, hey, we can, you know, for $5 more a day, man, we can get you into this Ford F-150 with a King cab on it. You know, I don't need a truck, man. What else you got? Well, we've got this Nissan Juke. You know, do you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, I've never driven one before. Yeah, sure, why not? Give it to me. Well, they say it's loaded. It's got everything in it. It's got navigation in it. You can sync your phone. You can, you know, whatever. So I got it. Got my paperwork. Great deal on it. I'm driving this thing for a week and a half. I get out to the service lanes, the parking lot area where they're keeping all the rentals, looking for my space, and there it was. It was the brightest yellow Nissan Juke that you could ever imagine. I'm thinking, really? No wonder you're cutting a deal on this thing, man. You know who's going to drive a yellow Nissan Juke, right?
But easy to find in the parking lot of the grocery store, right?
This is true. And I thought, well, you know, if they're going to see someone coming, it's going to be me first.
Right.
So there you go. So get out of my way.
All right. So along the lines of corporate executives that leave people scratching their head in terms of what are these guys thinking.
Right.
I've got a little bit of a follow-up to our previous podcast, in which we talked about Camping World, and I was kind of scratching my head over what are these guys thinking. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there was an article that just came out. Like, this is dated August 27th, so it was 4 or 5 days ago, midweek last week, in Chicago business.com. And they are calling out Marcus Lemonis, who is the CEO, the man in charge of Camping World Holdings, which owns now Gander and I think Overland. There's several brands associated with that, okay?
Right.
And they're basically using him as an example because of how he has structured his leadership position. So the traditional way that executives would come into a publicly traded company is there's a board of directors, like Apple does this, right?
Sure.
Where Tim Cook may be the guy in charge, but there is a board of directors that he answers to, and essentially they have the ability to replace him.
They can override anything.
Yeah, they can
absolutely
fire him.
That's,
they can, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So there's this growing trend in CEOs now to where they structure the company in such a way that they have total control, and the board basically is powerless. And apparently this is the case with Camping World and what Marcus has done. And so what they're saying here is shareholders of Camping World Holdings have reason to be dissatisfied with Marcus Lemonis' leadership, but there's not much they can do about it. Known for dispensing advice to small business owners on CNBC's The Profit, Lemonis has delivered subpar results as CEO of his own publicly traded company. Camping World shares have dropped 65% since the recreational vehicle and outdoor equipment retailer went public 3 years ago, while the Standard & Poor's, that's S&P 500 index, rose 33%. Sales at stores open at least a year, so the stores that have been open at least a year, a key measurement of retail performance, have declined for five straight quarters. And Camping World's quarterly earnings have missed Wall Street's expectations six times in a row. So they're also apparently, and it's in this article somewhere, they're racking up billions of dollars of debt. So they're not meeting their earning. They're basically in the red. They're
right.
Not making what they're spending, okay?
Yeah.
And so he has structured, okay, so another CEO might feel a tad insecure after such disappointing performance. At many public companies, holders of majority and outstanding shares have the right to force change at the top, like I just said, right? But mm-hmm. he has no reason to worry about losing his job anytime soon. He's protected by provisions in the charter that undermine shareholders' ability to determine who runs the company they own. He holds special classes of stock that give him majority voting power in board elections and other matters, even though he doesn't own a majority of their publicly traded shares.
Oof.
So you basically can't get rid of him. So the danger in that is he can kind of do what he wants, including running the company into the ground and spending them into massive debt, and there's little recourse. And here's the thing, Jay, that I don't get. When you have a company like this who has more opportunity for business than they can meet, meaning every time I'm in one of these places, the phone is ringing off the hook at the service counter. There's a two-month waiting list to get your RV repaired if you've got to take it in for service.
Right.
They literally cannot keep up with demand, and they are not turning a profit?
Yeah, there's...
Something is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
there's some bloatedness going on somewhere.
I mean, how do you have that kind of a demand for service and not be able to turn a profit?
Right, right. That is quite interesting. It sounds like somebody's pockets are getting a little more lined than others.
Yeah, so here you go. Same store sales fell in 2000, let's see. The Camping World debt burden has grown from 2016 to $2.9 billion. It's more than doubled since 2016. So they've doubled the debt to $2.9 billion with a B dollars.
Where is their workforce at in this? What do they have? You go over to Camping World quite a bit. What's it like when you go in there to be taken care of?
Well, there's usually like one or maybe two people working on the retail side, like in the store. Like there's a counter clerk. There's usually maybe one or two of those.
Yeah.
And then you've got two or three people at the parts counter, and then you've got a whole bunch of people back in the service garage.
Right. Okay. So they're not... They're focusing on the service end, yet they can't get it done.
I mean,
right?
I don't know what to say.
Because you're on a waiting list. Well, this kind of ties into the topic of the day about, you know, I hate my job. You know, the morale of the people that work for you. You know, it's kind of interesting, man, to me how, and I've worked in those environments where, you know, I've been in charge of P&Ls, profits and loss, and it'd be interesting. You have your district manager walk into you and say, sales are down, you need to cut your staff. Okay. Well, how am I supposed to take care of the people coming in the door if I don't have the staff to take care of them?
Right.
I mean, at some point, the surface that you're walking on gets awful thin and you fall through. And I think that's where some of these people do. They're focusing their attention on the wrong thing, and that's what's happening. But I don't have the story in front of me, but what was the money amount again? The billions?
Their debt is $2.9 billion. So it's almost $3 billion in debt.
Holy cow, man.
And I saw them, like, you know, they were a sponsor at, you know, big Macy's Thanksgiving parade last year, big presence there. Mm-hmm. The headline sponsor at last summer's Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Yeah.
They've got a current partnership with Major League Baseball. They're spending money on marketing.
Yeah, but
I guess that's important, even though you can't keep up with the number of customers that you have.
I marketing is essential to the success of any company, but you have to market in the right way. You know, maybe they're not reaching the right audience. Maybe they're looking in the wrong areas. Maybe their marketing department is to blame for this. I can certainly tell you that if you advertise, we'll do anything in the world for you to take care of you, and then you don't, it's a real struggle. Like essentially the issue you had on our last podcast.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're not happy, I'm not happy, and so to be fair, that somebody from his office, which is what they call it, did follow up with me earlier this week and said, "Hey, I just want to see how things went," and I just leveled with her. I told her basically what I told everybody on the last podcast. I said, "Your body shop estimates were more than double what the warranty book would, you know, from Thor, the manufacturer, would pay for a job like this." And then I got a second opinion from another body shop, and you were more than double them. And so I'm not sure what's going on, but something's not right. And I'm trying to not be a problem here, but I just ended up going somewhere else because, honestly, it was kind of crazy. And she said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. This stuff does happen, and I understand there's variance." I mean, she was great. And I was just like, "Look, I don't know if you can do anything about it or not. I don't know that I'm even asking you to do anything about it or not. I'm just telling you, like, something's not right." And, you know, it does mean something to me that you thought to follow up. So that's good.
Well, yeah, but you kind of got to wonder, was that a heartfelt follow-up, or was it just part of their protocol that they have on this list that they go,
yeah,
you know, because if it's robotic in a sense, and not naturally felt that you want your looking, it does, based on how you're speaking to me, you know, and I'm sure this is not the tone she used with you, but it just kind of almost sounded like, "Well, it happens, but, you know, we're real sorry for that, but, you know, maybe next time." I would have said, "That should never happen."
Yeah, you know, wasn't that way, and I don't want to portray that. She was cautious. I mean, she didn't have all the facts in front of her, and so she's just hearing this from one side, and she's apologetic, but she's not going to, like, side with me immediately. She's smart to do that. She should look into what the, you know, if, like, dig into it if you want to, and that's sort of what I told her. Like, look, I don't care. You dig into it or don't, but I'm just telling you that something's not right.
She should have offered up, or someone should have offered up, "Okay, well, we'll check into it, and we're going to follow up with you again and let you know what we're going to do to fix that problem." I would have given you $100 off your next service visit. That's just me, because they were $300 over the actual cost of what it would cost to repair the thing. So, you know, why not?
That would have been smart, some sort of gesture like that, yeah.
I would have done it. I mean, that's how you keep the trust of your customer base.
Well, look, you're marking it up $300. I mean, you give me a $100 discount, you're still $200 ahead, right?
Right, especially if I'm coming back, yeah, for sure.
Right.
You know, that's it. Yeah, that's it, man. It's really too bad to hear about it. You know, again, they're missing something. If you're losing money, but yet your service centers are backed up for weeks and you can't get, you know, they're all over, that smells like just poor management at the store levels, that may be happening, and somebody's too blind to recognize that they have an issue. You know, maybe they're not looking in the right spots. I don't know.
Let's let's tie this whole camper thing into, there's another, I got to tell you, like, this guy, you posted this article, and I've read the headline, but I'm assuming that you posted it because you agree with this. There was a news headline that I think came from Jalopnik that said, a reminder, do not park your car at the gas pump, you terrible debased heathens. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
I do. Yeah.
As an RV owner, this immediately spoke to me. So where were you going when you saw this? What was your...
Well, it's just that, I don't know. I think it's just kind of the nature of how society has just completely blocked out the other person in their lives. There's such inconsideration for others that you see, and this is exactly what it is. I mean, my wife, she gets so frustrated with me because I'll go to the self-checkout, which, by the way, any of you retailers out there that have self-checkouts in your stores, if I'm using that, I should get an immediate 10% discount just for using that, and you don't offer it. That really, anyway. So when I'm in these self-checkouts, and I do it because I personally feel like I'm more efficient than the person sometimes standing behind the counter, you know, that which is going to tie into our subject of the day, she gets mad at me because I'm trying to rush through and get through, you know, and she said, why are you rushing? I'm like, look behind us. There's 10 other people. I'm trying to get out of their way. I mean, I don't want to just lollygag around. Well, that's what this is all about for me. It's just that I'm very aware of my surroundings and very conscious that other people have a list of things to get done that day as well.
Well, we share that. And the last thing that I want is to be the guy that's inconveniencing someone else.
Absolutely, man.
Because I remember what grandma said, right? Treat others as you wish to be treated. I don't want to be that guy. So there's this apparent. So it's, first of all, it's nice to know that we're not alone in this sentiment, because I was sort of starting to lose faith in humanity. Now this this guy is, there's a lot of like F bombs and
F-bombs. Yeah.
So basically we've all seen this, right? So you pull into a big gas station, you're waiting for a spot, they're busy.
Right.
Now, I, in my 39-foot Class A motorhome, # first world problems, get into a, you know, I can't get into all of them, and I'm trying to be courteous to not come down the middle lane and take up, you know, a pump on the left and a pump on the right because I'm so wide that, you know, I'm trying to go to an outside lane. Some of it's a height clearance thing. If they have a low overhang, I got to go to the outside lane. And it never fails, Jay. There's cars parked in the outside lane, and they're inside shopping, man, buying their bag of donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Or going to the bathroom or whatever, right?
Right.
Move your car. There's parking spaces. So then this happens, okay? You start to look around after sitting there for about 5 minutes, and you see a guy over there that looks like he's about done, you know? Oh, look, he's pulling his credit card out. Look, he's wrapping it up, right? Well, I'm big and slow, so I put it in gear. I ease around to the other side. He's already pulled out by the time I get over there because, you know, I got to make sure there's nobody behind me and kind of make sure there's nobody sneaking up around me doing, you know, 35 in the gas line lot. And then I get over to the other side and you know what's coming, right? Somebody pulls in off the interstate and slams right into that spot.
Boom, right in. Yep. Not considerate of others. Not making sure that, I don't know, man. Do we have like this just different way we think? Is it just a different
train? Sometimes I feel like it's a whole different planet. So I just want, as a public service announcement, this is what I would like to say, okay? Because now you've fired me up with this news article. Good job, okay? Stop parking your cars at the gas pump. That is not a parking space. That is a fuel spot. If you need to go into the quick store, the Q store, the C store, whatever, to do your shopping or do your potty time or whatever it is you need to do, you move your vehicle to one of the pre-designated parking spaces and you park it there and you be considerate of others and you let them pull in and pump their gas. The world doesn't need to wait 20 minutes to buy fuel because you need a bag of donuts, dude. Sorry.
Right. Cup of coffee, whatever it is, or your special sandwich that you're having made without bacon on it. Please.
Oh yeah,
put bacon on the sandwich.
Your coffee with 14 syllables in your coffee order, you know.
Right. Your what do you got? Lab experiment, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, so. So, you know, there is one exception to that, though. The only time you would leave your vehicle there is if you tried to pay or you haven't paid.
Well, sure.
And you need to go in and pay. That would be the only exception to the rule, because otherwise you're going to be getting chased by some cops or something, or some dude with a bag of donuts in his hand saying,
"But
you got to pay."
Within reason, that's not going to take 10 minutes, right?
No. Don't go in and buy lottery tickets, man. You know, go pull off.
That's another
off,
and like those need to have their own line.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to wait if I'm just trying to get a cup of coffee for the 14 guys that do this number. Yeah. They buy a ticket in front of me,
right?
And then they take said purchase ticket and put it on the counter and scratch it while I'm standing behind them waiting to pay for my coffee, and then take their winnings and hand it back to the clerk and buy another ticket and then scratch it, and we sit there all day. Man, I'm gonna have to start taking some blood pressure medicine.
Convenience stores, these gas stations stuff, I understand they're there to make money. We're all here to make money, man. I get it. But you gotta understand that there's a lot of people that are standing in line behind this one dude that's scratching off scratch offs that might have a $100 bill in their hand to spend with you, and might get mad and walk off and go down to the next one down the street and get service. Go have a separate place for that, man.
Yep.
Don't do it right in front of me Anyway, that is, we could dedicate a whole podcast, but, you know, you came up with a name or title, so it was hashtag what?
First world problems.
Exactly.
Me and my RV, right? Yeah.
Yes, there's something to that, man. I want a shirt that says that on it. So, but anyway, that was, I just saw that, and I wasn't trying to get get you all riled up and everything, but it just kind of ties into where we're at as a society these days, and just how inconsiderate people can be and just oblivious to things going on around them. I mean, that's too bad for the people that are considerate. We're just one step away from
blowing your nose on someone else. I mean, we've almost come to that, you know, like in public. I mean, sorry for the visual there, but
yeah, we're a lot more humane society than I think we're showing everybody right now. But anyway, it's hey man, things are not done the way they used to be done, and you know, this ain't your grandpa's Buick anymore. So
okay, so you got a couple more in here. You wanna cherry pick something, and I wanna talk about poop. But I'm going to save that
for later,
for a little bit later.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we're always,
heard me right.
Yeah. I heard that, man. Wow. Ooh. Massive Ford recall.
Okay.
You know, here we go again, Ford. You know, that was one of yours that you posted, but I saw it too. And is that cool? Can I go with this?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. You know, again, folks, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you hadn't seen anyone in a while, you know, and they're not really like your most favorite person to see, but, you know, you kind of wonder about them. Hey, what happened? So I haven't seen him in like 2 years, and all of a sudden they just kind of show up. We were talking about Ford and what a great job they've been doing. And then all of a sudden, man, they have been in the news for like the past 2 to 3 months with these major, major recalls. So here's the latest. This is from actually the Chicago Tribune, but it's the Detroit Free Press.
Everybody's picking this thing up, though.
Everybody's got it. Detroit Ford Motor Company. So this is out of Detroit. Ford Motor Company issued a massive safety recall affecting 10 vehicles Friday, which would have been August 30th, this past August 30th, right? Including new versions of its popular Ford F-150, F-Series, Super Duty, Expedition, and the best-selling Explorer, for issues including seats that may detach in a crash. Holy cow,
This is awesome. Like, you can't make this stuff up. Like, seats coming loose on you. What? Like, what?
Right. I mean, where is the quality control going, man? So, anyway, they say in addition to this, there are cars listed that are potentially dangerous if not repaired. And they include the Ford Fiesta, the Fusion, and the Edge. A list of Lincoln vehicles is also included in the announcement that came on the eve of Labor Day weekend. You know, those
Are they giving any insight as to how it's happening?
It says, here we go. Let's see. Certain 2018 through 20 of the aforementioned vehicles that I spoke of, they have a manual driver and or front passenger seat back recliner mechanism. Let's see. Ford says, certain 2020 Ford Explorer and 2020 Lincoln Aviator vehicles with rear outboard seats with manual seat back recliner mechanisms.
So it's the recline mechanism.
Yes,
that's
it sounds like it's the yeah. So here's where that comes into a problem, because if you're driving, let's say you're driving, right? You know, and all of a sudden, I mean, here's what I want to. We'll dig into it deeper. You're driving along, and all of a sudden, does it just like or back or you know? Holy cow, man, that's not good.
No, it's not.
This is dangerous, people.
So, I mean, they're trying to get out in front of it, so that's good. And you have to applaud them for doing the right thing, regardless of the image that it may garnish. But, dude, you guys at Ford have got to get it together. This is a lot of recalls, and it's affecting a lot of vehicles over the past 12 months.
Man. Like,
I mean, the number of recalls they've done that are high-profile recalls in the past year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking at this. It says this action is going to affect over almost 500,000 vehicles in the U.S. and federal territories, because this is these are newer models.
Yeah.
And including almost 60,000 in Canada and almost 10,000 in Mexico. And they're U.S. built vehicles. Come on, guys. You know, we're trying to bring jobs back to the country. Right? I mean, what's going on?
Well, that's the thing. You gotta be willing to, there has to be a differentiator there. If it's gonna cost more, what are you getting for that increased cost, right? Is it a higher level of quality? And if it is, we need to be able to see that.
Yeah, well, there's a fine example of that, Keith, and we talked about it earlier. There's a American Giant Apparel that is a company that goes back to, I think, 2012, 2013. They decided that they were going to be an American-based apparel company where they're using products and labor, manufacturing, everything, inclusive to the U.S. I saw the story on CBS News. Actually, I think it might have been their... might have been 60 Minutes. I forget, but it's one of those two.
One of them news shows.
One of them news shows this past Sunday. And it didn't surprise me, because the whole time I'm going, oh, that's such a great idea. The way they're doing this, they are basically owning, you know, the cotton fields, the cotton gins, the plants that
yeah, it's go the, through it's those. It's the Anheuser-Busch model. They own
it's
the farms
everything
that produce
from
all the ingredients that goes into the
start
product.
To finish. Yeah. Start to finish. And even when you get to corporate level, you know, they're not farming anything out. They're not subbing anything out. It's all done. So what I found very, very satisfying to me that they wanted to, the end result is you get a really high quality product, because I feel that people are taking pride in their job, and it's going to last you a lot longer, but the initial cost of it is much more than what you would get in the normal retail environment these days. So in other words, there is something too. You're going to get what you pay for, period.
Yeah, well, and you know, we were talking about this earlier before we started recording, but you know, I kind of feel like we've gotten to a point where nothing has value anymore, because there's so much cheap stuff out. I mean, you just go on Amazon and just buy another one, and it's, you know, I had a chainsaw that I've owned for about 20 years. And I had a tree fall in my yard, and it, you know, needs to be cut up, and so, you know, of course I get my, it fell right on top of the shed where I keep my chainsaw.
Right.
But some weird started going on, and it was requiring I had to leave the choke on, or it would die. So it was getting too much air is usually right. What, okay. And I pulled it apart and made sure there was no fuel line damage. And I had just rebuilt the carb in this thing probably a year ago. I haven't used it that much, so I knew it was going to be probably okay. Well, it had never been tuned, and I'd been working it pretty hard. And some of these things have, you know, just little adjustment screws on it. And I just decided to take it to a small engine guy because I thought, yeah, I'm going to let the guy that does this all day, every day, do it instead of me who does it once every year, you know?
Right.
And I took it to him, and he went, man, he goes, well, I got, like, you know, you'd be in line, like, I've got, like, 10 in front of you, and it's probably going to be a month. But he goes, honestly, for what it's going to cost you to have it fixed, you might as well just buy a new one. And I thought, but all it needs is a little tune-up, and I don't want to throw it in the trash. Like, it's fine, right?
Right, yeah. Like,
I don't need another one. This one's fine.
Huh, right. And the only reason that it is because we're so out of whack with the labor costs. That's
so
it.
So nothing has value anymore because it's so cheap to produce everything. And what that does is essentially gets us as consumers to just fill our houses up with crap that we don't need.
Right. We're causing more and more harm to the environment by throwing the trash.
The cycle just keeps repeating itself.
Well, it's like, you know, audio equipment or... you know, DVD players, for example, which, gosh, man, most of this stuff because of the streaming devices and stuff, even some of those things, streaming devices, if they go out on you, you don't repair them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If it's under warranty, yeah, you take it back, you get a new one, but if it's not under warranty, I mean,
who are you going to find
it? It just goes in the trash and go buy a new one, which is pretty sad because, I mean, honestly, some of these things cost a couple $100 and, I mean, it's like we don't have value on $200 anymore.
Yeah.
You know? It's weird. It's weird to me. But that's where we're at. I hope that we can bring that back around because if we look at the bigger picture on this very subject, these are the things that will bring jobs back to the country. And we're not getting on any political platforms here. We're just talking about, you know, because it ties into our industry, our repair industry as well. The automotive industry, the camper, the RV industry, all the repair, you know, all this stuff ties in. So,
got to take pride in what you're doing. So I think we're going to hit on that here in just a little bit in terms of quality of workmanship. All right. Let's end this on a lighter note here. I've got all right. So this is from the New York Post. Hikers at the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is here in Tennessee and also in North Carolina,
right.
It covers several states. Are being warned to watch out for wayward turds. According to the National Park Service, the balls of rolling poo are being propelled by a type of dung beetle called tumblebugs. It's like they always say, when life gives you crap, roll it into a ball, lay an egg inside it, bury it, and use it to nourish your offspring.
So this
Park Service apparently on Facebook goes on to explain that dung beetles rely on animal poo to reproduce, and they lay a fertilized egg inside this poo, and they make a poo ball, and then the males bury the poo balls, and when the eggs hatch, basically it unsettles these poo balls and they start to roll, and it's poo ball hatch season, I guess, in the Smokies. And so
is the species are they being threatened by the environment because of this, or is
no,
it just this,
apparently they're just an, there's just poo just balls everywhere in the park, and you want to be careful where you walk.
That's a good one.
Let's see. The park official said this is a service to the tourists. The dung beetles and tumblebugs do us a great service by keeping the trails clean and aiding in decomposition, but you need to watch where you step.
How big are these things, man? How do you know? I mean, are they like the size of a pea? Or?
I'm looking at one right now. It's your average beetle size, you know, like
But I'm talking about the turd.
Oh, the I think it varies. I think they find what they can find, right? So you
they just kind of roll it up. Yeah,
you work with whatever random crap you can find laying around, so to speak.
So it's kind of like working with pottery.
Yeah,
except it's pootery.
Yeah,
is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, or you know, better yet, you know, is there a Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore version of Ghost there where we roll the pootery?
Can you imagine? Yeah, the Poodery. Yeah,
yeah. This is this is an all-time low way. For this program, right?
Yeah, this is. I think it is. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
So
it's good to know, though. If I'm ever out there, and our new guy that's going to be coming on board, Rothmeyer, I'm sure can pass that on to any campers that might be headed out east. So I'll have a discussion with him on that.
Tell him to watch out for crap. So let's talk a little bit about we've got a drawing to do here, and let's set that up. And while you're getting your product there, I'm going to tell everybody, if for those of you that are current subscribers to our podcast, especially on the YouTube channel, we appreciate that very much. That's one of the best ways you can help us out. Go to our YouTube channel, which is The Parts Counter Gurus. If you search for that on YouTube, you'll find us, and hit the subscribe button. That will help us unlock some features on YouTube that Google kind of restricts until we have a certain number of subscribers. And what we thought we would do is we would do some random drawings of stuff that we've either reviewed or that we've come up with, or, you know, just whatever stuff that's kind of relevant to the show, and pick from that list of subscribers. Now, one of the things that we learned is that you have to make your subscriber profile public. Otherwise, we can't see who you are. We just know that we have a subscriber, but we don't see like a channel name or a subscriber tech profile or tag or anything like that. So if you want to win something, you've got to make your subscriber profile public. And I actually saved I saved the instructions on how to do that.
We'll just post it. Do you want to post that up on our mention on the podcast?
Yeah, I can. I think I can. So if you go to YouTube, which is just youtube.com, and I will put this on mentioned on the podcast, in the top, you'll see your little profile picture, little icon in the top right. You click on that, and then you click on the little settings, which looks like a gear wheel. And then this is coming from YouTube's own instructions. Once you click on the settings gear, in the left menu, select privacy. And then under likes and subscriptions, check or uncheck the box for keep all my subscriptions private. So you want to make sure that those subscriptions are not private if you want to win anything that we do on the drawings. It's going to be just various stuff. Some of it's pretty cool. So that would be a way for us to get in touch with you. Now, Jay, before the show started, I asked Jay to pick a random number from our list of current subscribers.
Yes, I did.
And he did that, and we came up with, Jay, I guess I should give you a drum roll for this, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what's the product that we're giving away? You got it there?
This is the Mr. Pink Super Foam Car Wash.
And it's okay.
Just try it out, and you can buy it separately on Amazon. Or you can buy it within that kit that we did a review on, which is the HOL 121. Great stuff. I reviewed it. Keith's used it. His wife's used it. Guys love it too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a freebie, and you should be able to get, I think, about four to six washes with this little bottle. So.
All right. So here you go. You ready? The winner of the bottle of Mr. Pink Car Wash, which is a Chemical Guys product.
Now, I haven't seen the name.
Nope. It is one of our YouTube subscribers, Jody Ift, IFFT.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Jody?
I do know Jody.
Okay. Well, there you go. I was going to say, Jody, we'll reach out to you through YouTube and try to send her a message, but she can also, if you can contact her, otherwise she can reach out to us on...
No, I'm going to reach out to her and let her know how to go through the motions to collect her winnings.
There you go.
And just tell her this is what she needs to do. So, but I'll make sure that she gets this. And what something I wanted to point out to our listeners is, by changing your profile to public, you are still in complete control of who you allow to follow you. Period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You can block people. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a it's not an issue of privacy. So, in that regard,
yeah. And if
so.
You're worried about if you're worried about your actual name being used, you can use a made up name or, you know, an alias or whatever. You don't have to use your actual real name in your YouTube profile. You can change that. So, yeah, I'll put a link to how to make your subscriber profile public. We're going to do another drawing on the next podcast for something else. Is that right, Jay? For something different?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Because how this needs to work is every other podcast we have, we will let you know what we're going to give away on the next podcast. And then the next podcast, we will let you know who the winner is. And, you know, kind of almost like the Winter Olympics versus Summer Olympics. Yeah.
Schedules, yeah. You know? That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So make sure that you go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button, and you will be automatically, as I like to say, entered into the next drawing.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Yes. So congratulations.
Yes. Thanks,
congratulations,
Jody.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. That's going to be good. And I'll be interested in knowing how that car wash works for you specifically, because I think we actually had a conversation on that before. What car washes to use? And it's kind of ironic that she was chosen. Yeah. Good. Good job. I did want to talk about your hat. We talked about mine today. Let's talk about your hat. What do you got on there?
What hat? That's not exactly the answer you want when you're trying to set something up, is it?
No.
It's like those Nicolas Cage interviews when he does, like, when, you know, he'll be doing a presser to, like, you know, he's got a movie coming out and he'll go on, like, you know, Good Morning America, and they'll go, "Hey, so Mr. Cage, we understand you're in this movie, is that correct?" "Yes." "Right. So we understand that your co-star is Nicole Kidman, and she was in this movie with you, is that correct?" "Yes." It's great radio, man.
It is.
Okay, so this is a this hat I got from San Juan Brewing. I actually had to look to make sure I had the hat I was about to talk about on.
Yeah,
which is a brewery on the San Juan Island over near Jay, almost to Canada in the Pacific Northwest. You have to take a ferry boat to get there.
Yeah.
It's a great brewery. Had some of my favorite beers.
Oh,
they have good food at the brewery. It's a cool place to go eat out on the San Juan Islands. What else can I say about it, Jay?
Pet friendly, kid friendly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, pet friendly, kid friendly. It's a very roomy place.
Yeah.
The experience during the summertime is fantastic.
It's a good family place.
Yeah, they have a big, huge outdoor seating area, and it's just right up the hill from the ferry dock. There is other ways you can get there, though. You can fly in by seaplane, or just get on your sailboat and sail on out. But that's about it. I mean, it's either boat or plane, or aircraft of some sort.
So yeah.
I'm sure they could drop you in from a helicopter if you wanted to do that. Or
you want a halo jump or, rappel. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in full scuba gear and you want to dive in off the edge of a helicopter.
Water's pretty cold, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's about 52, I think, year-round. Typically, so that is pretty cold. So, but anyway, yeah, good, nice hat, man.
Thanks.
Like that.
Stay tuned, everybody. Part two is coming up, and now is your chance to go ahead and click on over to it. For our listeners listening on cassette or vinyl record, you can go ahead and flip that sucker over.